So we have a machlokes within a machlokes within a din d'rabbana. We have a din d'araisa, parshas kiseitse, the sad, sometimes necessary parsha of gerushin, v'chasev lo sefer krisus v'nasam biyada. They produce a get, la l'shma, v'nasam biyada, and then he, the husband, after having produced the get, either himself or via shaliach, namely a sofer, v'nasam biyada, he then either delivers it to her hand himself or delivers it via shaliach. That's the din d'araisa, and that's the kinyan gerushin. The nasinas hashtar is the kinyan gerushin. We'll get to other details coming going forward. Are there edim? Are there not? But that's the kinyan gerushin. That's the din d'araisa. Our mishnah adds the din d'rabbanan. If the get is sent out to shliach, and specifically it's a shliach from the dinas hayam, then we require not only v'nasam biyada, but also that the shliach say b'fana niftavai neftam. Why is that? Opening machlokas rabba, amaram debate the ta'am of the din that appears in the Mishnah. Rabba says, if Hashem became l'shma, we're worried that the get is not kosher. Either was not written in a kosher fashion, or is not being used in a kosher fashion because it was written for one couple, it's not being used for a different couple. So that's the concern. It's coming from Medina Sayam. We're either worried about a lack of knowledge or worried about a lack of caring for the details of the dinim, and particularly for Lishma. That's Rabba's understanding of the Tama Takana b'fayinich t'fayinichna. Whereas Rabba says, no, Tama Takana is not Fishayim b'kiyim Lishma. That's the way the Gemara seems to present it. Rabba has one approach. Rabba has a different approach. His approach is the concern of Ein Edim Mitsuyin Makaimo. We're worried that we won't have the Edim to be Makaim the get if it's challenged. If the husband shows up at some later date and challenges the get and says that this is a get mazuyif, this is not a legitimate get, so we're going to need to, the response would have to be Kiyim HaGet. As the Mishnah says, in Eretz Yisrael, there's no b'fay nefay nechtam. If the Baal is ma'arer, he's kind b'chosamav. But coming from Medina Siyam, you have to be kind b'chosamav, so you need to have the shliach take care of it instead. Nafkamina, the list of three nafkamina is to open the conversation. Nafkin number one was asyua beitre. Two shluchim bring the get, so that's where Rabba would say that the takana still applies, but Rabba would say, no, this case lies outside of the takana. So for Rabba, Asyua Beitre, they have to say Levanefa Nechtam, and for Rava, they do not. The way we put it the other day is it's a shailu whether or not you medayik in the box. That word Hamevi, before you even get out of the box, Zere Machlokas Amoroim, whether the takana even applies to Mevim get or only to Mevi get. And here we come to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosis. Machlokas Rashi and Riva, how to understand why is it that according to Rava, Asyua Beitre doesn't require Vanefanafta? Rava says it does, that you understand. The Gemara says Rava would say it doesn't. Why? So Rashi says Rava says it doesn't because Hare, you have your Edom between the Kamo, you have your two Shluchim, they will serve as the Edom. And Tosis, and with Riva, it says, no, it's not that they can in the future serve as Edekim, but rather the Rifa said, they right now are giving you all the Edekim you need. Either not saying b'fayin echt b'fayin echtam, they're not speaking to the Chasimas. Rifa says, that's right, they don't need to speak to the Chasimas. They speak to something else instead. What do they speak to? You just have regular two Edekim who are testifying to the fact that they were Shluchei Hava. In other words, the husband authorized this get and gave it to them to give to his wife. So Riva says, the husband can't show up later and say the whole thing is a forge, a phony, someone else fabricated this get. No, we have two Edim who said that Habal Shalach. So that's the Machlokas Rashi and Riva. Why is it that Asyua Beitre, Rava's concern doesn't apply? Is it, as Rashi says, because in the future, if need be, they will serve as Edekim? Or the Riva, who says, no, Edekim is irrelevant. We have better. They're Ede Shlichus. they are Eidim that the husband was Mamana, then the husband handed over this get. What's so attractive about the Riva? Why is it that Tosus and the Rush and the Rashba all dispose of Rashi and embrace the Riva instead? And they'll take questions in a moment. Let's just lay the pieces out. Before we even get actually to the questions, it's worth pointing out this machlokas Rashi Riva. Let's say again, machlokas we've shown him on a machlokas Amoraim about a din drabban and a Mishnah. Lefi, Machlokas Rava and Rava, why you have to define Nefa Nechdan? According to Rava, the Gemara says, Asiyu Beitrei Potter from Nefa Nechdan. Machlokas Rashi Riva, why? Is it that you don't need Nefa Nechdan because they can serve as Eidei Kiyim or because they do serve as Eidei Shlichas? Lamai, now before we get to the Kashas and Terutzim, which we began to work on over the last day or two, it's just worth noting, this could be a whole separate conversation, which I just want to touch on, is Lamai Nafkamina. Lamai Nafkamina. Lamai Nafkamina. It's worth considering, what talk is Nafkamina? What talk is Nafkamina? Well, doesn't matter whether, as Rashi said, the reason why Siyo Beitrei Yoni Fanafa Nechton is because they can serve as Eidei Kiyim, or as Riva said, because they are Eidei Shlichus. Yeah. According to Riva, according to Riva, if the husband, what happens if the husband does show up? Our Gemara is discussing when the shliach comes, do we make them say Fanafa Nechton? Okay, we don't. Lai said we don't, according to Rava. And what happens if the husband does show up? So here's where it appears to be Machlokas Rambam and Tur, Rambam and Perek Zayin Halach Yudalad, versus the Tur, where he quotes this din, Kuf Simon Kuf Mem Beis. Simon Kuf Mem Beis is the Simon Hilchas Gittin, and Evan Ezra about the whole Takana of Fanech Fanechtam. Everything you ever want to know about Fanech Fanechtam is in Simon Kuf Mem Beis and Evan Ezra. So Sif Yud Ches, the tour gets up to this particular angle, the Asua Beitre. So it, the Beis Yosef and the Bach, as you may have seen, have a lot to say about the tour. But Al Pi Pashtus, it sounds like the Rambam and the tour are arguing over the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Riva, because the Rambam says, 2P2 Shluchim came, they don't say Fanech Fanechtam. Shluchim hein eda. The shluchim are the edim, and therefore, if the husband shows up in the future, we say we're going to ignore your irur. Whereas the Torah says if the husband shows up in his ma'arer, we'll be mekayim the chasimus then, just like Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like the Torah is aligned with Rashi and the Rambam is aligned with Tosfos. The Torah says, they don't have to say Fanechtam, but they will have to Mekayim later. That's what Rashi said. They don't have to say Fanechtam because they'll serve as the Eidei Kiyum. While the Rambam, who appears to say there is no possibility of Irur whatsoever, they already took care of business. Right? But they didn't say Fanechtam, so it sounds like the Rambam was aligned with Tosfos. That they don't need to say Fanechtam because they do say that we're Shluchim, and that suffices. So again, Machlokas Rashi Riva, why Asiyu Beitrei is Patur according to Rava, and Nafkamina seems to be what happens b'diavad. What happens if indeed the husband does show up? Do you need Irur? Do you need Kiyum or not? Okay, so that's the Machlokas Rashi and Riva. And last time, I'll take questions here, unless it's mamish like on the Nakuda. I mean, feel free to scratch if you like. But again, Machlokas Rashi Riva, and last time, over the last couple of days, we've been seeing that the Rishonim, Tosfos, the Rashba, attack Rashi viciously. They pile on Kasha after Kasha after Kasha. We focus on three of the Kashas in particular, two that appear in Tosfos, and then another one that the Rush and the Rashba both add. The Rush and the Rashba were contemporaries. Just as an aside, I have to tell you, talk about the Rush and the Rashba together, I have to tell you something that I find personally very, very moving. The Rush was a Talmud of Maharam Württemberg in Germany. Maharam Württemberg famously was put into put into prison. He was taken captive by the local duke or count, the local aristocrat who wanted to squeeze the Jewish community for money. And he figured if he takes the Gadol Adar of Ashkenazi Jewry, the Jews will pay whatever price he names. Now, Rav Rutenberg, I think we may have touched this a little bit earlier in the year, Rav Rutenberg said, no, you got the Makai in the Mishnah, in Maseches Gittin, one of the Takaras by Tikkun HaOlam is the important Shavui in Yesekadei Dinayim, that you can't pay more than the quote-unquote market price, more than the going price, to redeem a Jew who is taken captive, because if you pay whatever the exorbitant price the pirates demand, it's in the long run, they're taking a hold on them. In the long run, that puts an X that makes every Jew a marked man, because the pirates know that they can always get more money, whatever price they name, by capturing a Jew, Jews will be exceptionally unsafe. So the Mishnah says, Ein pones shavuin yesekadei demand. Exactly what happened to Maram, and Maram insisted, even though he was good al Adar, he insisted, you must follow the Mishnah, don't pay these ridiculous prices. So he spent the rest of his life, the last number of years of his life, in jail. One very beautiful aspect of that is that we have a number of tshuvas in Maram. Tshuvas in Maram are very, very relevant to halacha. They've shaped our halachic practice Ari Amazeh, and many of them, the byline is Migdal Eisenheim, I believe it is. The tower, and I think the name of the town was Eisenheim. It's a remarkable thing. The local duke or count, who thought he was in charge, he's passed from the stage of history. Who knows or cares, except a couple of historians. But the Maram, while he seemed to be under the control and thumb of that duke, in fact, he had a far, far more lasting impact. We are still living based on what the Maram was writing in the prison. While the local aristocrat, his impact has long since ceased. Maram passes away in jail, and the Rosh soon after flees Germany. Whether it was because some historians think because he was worried that he would be next, he was probably the most prominent of the Talmid de Maram of Wittenberg, was the Rosh. Mordechai and Haggadah Maim, you're also a very prominent Talmid, but the Rosh was probably the preeminent Talmud Muvak of Maram. Some historians think that he fled Germany before he would be captured next to be held for ransom, and others have other explanations why he flees. Whatever it is, he does flee, and he flees before the Rheinfleisch massacres, the terrible pogroms in, I believe, the 1320s in Germany. I think I mentioned that Mordechai did not escape Germany in time. He therefore died a young man. That's why his Sefer is less edited, less developed than the Rosh, who fled to Spain and lived for many more decades. He flees to Spain, the Rosh, ultimately settles in southern Spain, in Toledo, where he becomes the Rav of the community, and his later tshuvas are peppered with references to him comparing Minig Ashkenaz and Minig Sfarad. He had come from Ashkenaz, he had such a rich Ashkenazi Masora, he was at the end of the Bali Atosis, and he now is interacting with all the Hanhagas and the Psakim of Sfarad. On the way, as he's going, you know, Spain and Portugal are the Iberian Peninsula, the southwestern corner of Europe. So he's traveling down that peninsula. He stops in Barcelona. Barcelona had been the location of the Rabbanus of the Ramban. When Ramban passed away, his Talmud Muvuk, the Rajba, took over. And the Rosh passes through while the Rajba is there. And the way the historians tell it, Avram Freiman, I think it is, a fantastic biography of the Rosh, published many decades ago by Masada Rav Kook. And he describes that the Rosh is passing through Barcelona. He's never met the Rashba before in his life. And he realized he might never see him again. They might never see each other again. The Rosh and the Rashba were not only contemporaries who had grown up in two different parts of Europe. The Rosh was an Ashkenazi, the Rashba was a Sephardi. And this is before they'd never seen pictures of each other, they never spoke on the phone. And maybe they had corresponded by letter. And they happen to live at the same time, and they are, despite the fact that they were in the same generation, you think about over the last 1,500 years since Chassidim Asa Talmud, they are two of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of the last 1,500 years. Two of the Talmidei Chachamim who have shaped our practical Psak Halacha and our lives few Talmid Chachamim over the last 1,500 years have shaped our lives more than the Rush and the Raja. Mamish, from the greatest Gedolei Rishonim. And they have 8 days together. And the way the historians tell it, apparently they closeted themselves in a room for 8 days. And then the Rush went on his way and continued, left Barcelona. And I started to think about that. Like, what would you give to be a fly on the wall? Can you imagine if you had, like, the transcripts? Like, what was that like? Like, two of the mamers, the biggest Talmid Chachamim since Chassidim Asad Talmud. They've heard about each other. They've never met each other before. They might never meet each other again. Like, what was that conversation like? Must have been like bouncing around Shas together. It's like something like you could cry. Just think like what that moment, what those moments must have been like. So the Rush and the Rashba, where the Rush continues to Toledo. And the Rush and the Rashba are contemporaries. It's not surprising. The Rush's son, the Tur, quotes both his father and the Rashba extensively. See, here we have, sometimes you have a big machlokas, the Rush and Rashba. Here they happen to be aligned. They're both adding this kasha to Tosis. They're both embracing Tosis's understanding that we should reject Rashi and accept the Riva. Why? Why? Because again, we have a series of kashas. Machlokas Rabba and Rava with the nafkamina number one. Asiyu Beitrei, or Asiyuhu Beitrei. Right? And we have Machlokas Rashi and Riva. What if because Haim Yicholim Lios Edekim, or Arehen Edesh Lichos Haba. Right. And we said, offhand, it would seem that the tour looks like he's aligned with Rashi, and the Rambam looks like he's aligned with Tosus, in terms of Lahabal the era. Okay. But now, what were the kashas? What were the kashas? The kashas on Rashi, we spoke about three kashas on Rashi. The first kasha was, what was the first kasha in Tosis? Huh?
Kippa.
Kippa, right? Kippa, kista, atipa, kippa, manchi. In other words, these eidim are insufficient. They're going to be gone.
Why are you relying that in a month from now, a year from now, they're going to still be here?
Number two, is that they are unnecessary. Sagi v'chol beis me'oso makam. I don't need dafka edim, just two people from that place. Why do you have to dafka b'shluchim?
As we saw in dafka zayin, the Gemara stresses even more than here, there's dafka shluchim.
Why? It seems unnecessary. It seems too much. On the one hand, they seem not enough, because they're going to be gone. And then, if they're not going to be gone, why do they have to dafka be shluchim? It could be any two people. As a matter of fact, shluchim might be less likely to stick around, because they're travelers. It would be better if there are people who moved a few years ago from the Ines Hayam, and they've been living here, and they're going to stick around. And those are two kashas that Tosis had asked. And then the Rashba, the Rosh, had added kasha number three, which was Mehecha Tesi Shulchan Akirim. Who said, it's very nice to come from the same Medina, to start coming from the same Makam, but who says they'll work? Once again, they seem to be insufficient, because even if they will hang around, who says they know? Like we said yesterday, yes, if I can go to a town where the get was written, I'll find someone out of the 10,000 inhabitants of the town. If I advertise that, clap on the bima, I put up a billboard, I'll find two people, I'll dredge up two people out of the whole population of the town. Someone is makir the chasimus.
But lav dafka, if I randomly choose two people, that those two people will be makas achzimus. Someone knows. If you're from Edison, so maybe there are two or three people in Edison who recognize your chzima. But I can't just randomly pick two people in Edison and assume they will automatically know your chzima because they're from Edison, you're from Edison. That doesn't work that way. So why are you assuming that dafka, these two shluchim, will know? So that is a problem. So we left off yesterday. These were the kashas on Rashi. These are the kashas on Rashi. So yesterday we pointed out, you know, you've been waiting for a question for very, very patiently. Let's take your question and then we'll move forward.
Could Rebbe just clarify, what's Tosfos' kasha in terms of Atta B'Kippa? If Rashi, in the previous Rashi, by Lufish Ein Eidim Tzu L'Kaimu, defines Ein Eidim Tzu L'Kaimu as Ein Sheiros B'Tzu, so Eidim Tzu L'Kaimu would therefore be Sheiros B'Tzu, then what's the kasha? They don't have to be there, they could just take a
One second. You're asking that Tosis first kasha is, what do you mean the Edom may not, Rashi assumed the Edom are sticking around? Why do you assume the Edom are sticking around? So you're saying, well, the previous Rashi had said when he's explaining the Rabba's actual pshat, Rabba's actual language, Fishan Edom and Sue in Lakaimo, Ein Shayaros, Rashi says, you can look inside forever, Ein Shayaros, the second Rashi in Bezmet Bez, Ein Shayaros, Mitsuyas, Lemisham, Lakaim. We don't have shayaros mitzios. We don't commonly have traveling parties or caravans of camels or trains or whatever. There aren't a lot of flights from Qatar to Denver. That's probably still true. I mean, nowadays you can catch a connection. You can fly from Qatar to New York, then from New York to Denver. Right? Ein shayaros mitzios. So he says, so Rashi says, you're bringing a, Rashi explained, Rav is saying, you're bringing a get from Medina Sayyam, you're bringing a get from Portugal to Yerushalayim. So there aren't a lot of people traveling freely. There are few travelers from Lisbon in Portugal to Yerushalayim. So in Yava Balvia Arer, if the husband in a year from now is going to, he'll come from Portugal, he'll show up in Yerushalayim, he'll say, Lokasavtiv, I never wrote this. You're not going to have Eidim. Mitzuyim lahakir chasim. We're not going to have Eidim who can verify or authenticate the signatures. Now, see, just to clarify, Ein Sheiros Mitzuyos doesn't mean no one travels. Obviously, occasionally people travel from the Islam to Israel. Hare, I'll prove it. Number one proof is, well, the Shliach just came. Proof number two, we're worried that the Baal may come. Ein Shayaros Mitzuyos doesn't mean it's impossible. We're not saying this like East Berlin, West Berlin, it's impossible to get one to the other. We're just saying Ein Shayaros Mitzuyos. It's rare. Occasionally people come, but maybe it's like, I don't know, once a year or once a month. It's not common. So yeah, it happened to be the Shliach showed up. And maybe there was a Shayar, maybe he came out. Oh, maybe there was, you know, once every 6 months there's a Shayara that comes. So it says, very nice. If in the next Shayara, the husband's going to show up, there aren't a lot of people. It doesn't mean there's no one. It means there aren't a lot. There aren't a lot of people. You have slim pickings. How many Portuguese are you going to find in Yerushalayim? How many Frenchmen will you find in Yerushalayim? Very few. Does that answer your question?
In the case of Aishuva trade, if you define Edom and Tzvim and Kaimo as that there are Sheiros Mitzuyos,
but there aren't Sheiros Mitzuyos. The fact remains the case that it's relatively rare, it's infrequent to have groups traveling from Portugal down to Israel.
So why, according to Robert, do you not need to find out?
He said, well, that's the problem. So Rashi says, the Riva said, because I can, once I have two Eidei Shlichos, I can ignore the whole Kiyum business. Right? But Rashi had said, no, it's because, well, these guys are my Eidei Kiyum. I don't have to worry about general Shayaros Mitzuyos. Rashi says, I have these two guys. Right? The question, that's what Tosa says. You have these two guys now. They're not sticking around. And it's not like there are flights twice a week. And there's always a steady flow of new Portuguese people. And within a couple of weeks, we'll find someone who knows. No! The people push out from Portugal to Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, once a year, twice a year, very infrequently. So yes, Rashi, it's true, as long as the shluchim stick around, they're gevaldik, but who says they're sticking around? We're not locking them in. We're not keeping them in our pocket. We're not locking them in a prison.
Why are we assuming that there's ancient Eretz Mitzvahs in this case with Eishu
Vetra? I don't understand the question. Eretz Mitzvahs is not a property. Let me explain this. Eretz Mitzvahs is not a property of one event. Eretz Mitzvahs is a property of a route between two locations. In other words, even Bizman Hazeh, you know, flights from LaGuardia to Chicago are probably, let's say, 3-4 times a day on any given airline that does that. Flights from LaGuardia to Atlanta might be once a day or might be every other day. Right? Sorry? Well, it depends which airline you're looking at. Atlanta is a very big airport, that's true. But any given airport, but any given airline, you could try it later. Try it later, you'll find out. Or the reverse. Right? How many flights do you have from LaGuardia to Sacramento? Well, and any given airline might fly there once a day, might fly there every 2-3 days. I don't know, it depends. Right? From LaGuardia to Tallahassee? Well, from LaGuardia to L.A., far more common. So, and that's Sheyaros Matsuyos. Looking at two different places, how frequently is that route traveled? Right? Or even, I don't know, think about your daily commute. Right? So there are definitely Sheyaros Matsuyos every weekday morning from Queens to Manhattan. Some of you may have noticed. Too many Sheyaros Matsuyos is something it feels like. There are plenty of Sheyaros Matsuyos every morning from northern New Jersey to Manhattan. There are not so many Sheyaros Matsuyos from northeast New Jersey to northwest New Jersey. There aren't even so many Sheyaros Matsuyos in the morning from Manhattan to New Jersey, right? The direction of traffic. That's Sheyaros Matsuyos. Sheyaros Matsuyos, Ve'ez Matsuyos is doesn't have to do with one particular case and this particular get. It's a question of the route. So the route between Hebron and Yerushalayim is well-traveled. The route between Tzipori and Tveria is well-traveled. But the route between Tzipori and Carthage is not well-traveled. People come occasionally. It happens to be two Adim just showed up. Two Shluchim just showed up from Carthage with a get for a woman in Tzipori. It doesn't make a Sheyaros Matsuyos. That makes sense? Sheyaros Matsuyos is not a property of a particular case, particular event. It's a property of what are the traffic patterns like.
If Rava is saying that in Edom Tzvim Kama is in Edom Tzvim Kama because in Sheyaros Matsuyos, or I'm misunderstanding.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so then...
But Rashi says, but in this case, I only general Sheyaros Matsuyos. Sheyaros Matsuyos means usually I'm relying on, I don't know who, but there'll be someone. Rashi says, I don't need someone. Here I have these two guys already. I don't care about what everyone else is doing. Rashi says, I have my Edekim. They're the Shluchim. Gevaldiks. Now I can ignore. Normally I have to worry about Sheyaros Matsuyos. And normally if ain't Sheyaros Matsuyos, I have to be concerned I won't have Edekim. But Rashi says, yeah, but here it's different because here you have these two guys. I don't need statistics. I don't need, in general, someone will be here. I already have. I have Reuben and Shimon. They walked in. Shluchei Haget. Givaldik. I mean, that's why Baitos is saying, well, if you're saying I have my two guys already, do it with anyone. Why does it have to be Shluchim? That was their second kasha. And then the first kasha was, it's very nice to have these two guys. If they stick around, that's Givaldik. But they're not sticking around. And also, the third kasha, the Rosh and Rajba, is you have two guys, but two guys isn't so helpful, because I don't know if they're Makirin Chasimah Sa'edim. If it's Sheyaros Matsuyos, there's always a flow of people. So if there are always hundreds and thousands of people traveling between Tzipori and Tveria, I'll find, in the hundreds and thousands of people, I'll find two. But here you only have two, so that's how Sheyaros Matsuyos in general. You're right. Rashi is saying that these two Edim take the place of the general, of what would usually be accomplished by a general flow of traffic. I don't need Sheyaros Matsuyos because I have these two guys. I, but all these kashas. So this brings us back to where we left off yesterday. Yesterday we began to explore the teretz to one kasha, and now we wanna wrap around, develop that a little more, and see the terutzim to other kashas also. Can everyone see this part of the board? It'll help if I move the desk. What's that? So the achronim we mentioned yesterday. We began with the teretz to kasha number two. The kasha of why Dafka need shluchim? It could be any two guys who happen to originally have lived in Portugal and now present in Carthage, whatever, and presently live in Eretz Israel. Why Dafka the Eidim? So that, the Achronim pointed out, well, the teretz is, Rashi himself on Daf Tazayin appears to address it. And he has a yesod. What's his yesod? This we had left off with yesterday. Let's develop a little more. He said a major principle. A principle of how Dinim Drabanan work. A principle of how when Chachamim legislate, Chachamim create Dinim Drabanan, what are the principles they work with? One of the principles is lo plug. One of the principles is that you have to, yes, you have a certain concern, there's a certain tzorach, a certain tama takana, there's a problem they're trying to solve. but once they set up what the din drabanan is going to be, it can't just be, well, whenever there's a chashash, you'll keep the din drabanan. It has to be, whenever you establish a din drabanan, you need to have well-defined categories. This is when the din drabanan applies, and this is when it doesn't apply. So Rashi says, to say that the takana was, if one shliach brings the get, he has to say this, but two shluchim not, that's a well-defined halachic category. Because we know who the shluchim get are. That's a good chunk of Maseches Gittin. And Kiddushin is concerned with defining who's the shliach, how you become a shliach, what the shliach does. And those who have learned the Mishnayis, you raised a lot of conversation. So that's what Rashi said. Oh! We can say the takana only applies to one shliach, not to two shluchim. But to say, so that's well defined. But to say, well, the takana only applies if there's only one guy here from the town. But if there are other people here from the town, then the takana doesn't apply. It's true that the tama takana doesn't apply. But that's a very, very hazy, amorphous, mushy, fuzzy way of defining a din drabanan. Well, if there are people here from that town, what does here mean? And how long are they here for? And that's endlessly mushy. So Rashi says a yesod, you find throughout Chas, that lo plug, when Chazal set up a din drabanan, once it's true that the process of making a din drabanan, step one, is you have a tama takana. You have a reason, you have a motivation to create the din. That's going to lead you to actually creating the tsura satakana, actually creating and legislating the din. But once you have the din, it's no longer plugged back into the tama takana. Low plug means the din applies, once a din rabban is created, it applies independently of the reason. We were talking about that the other day, I think. We were talking about that the other day? Exactly, the low plug wire. Why is it, by the way, that there is such a rule of low plug? So briefly, there are probably three reasons. Reason number one, the Mishkan is Yaakov. The Shech likes to quote the Mishkan is Yaakov in his Tshuvas. Mishkan is Yaakov was a Litvish Rav who was a Talmud of the early days of the Vlazhin Yeshiva in the early 1800s. He's a Talmud of Chaim Vlazhin. The Mishkan is Yaakov, Yaakov Karlin. The Karen Ora, you may have used on a number of Masechtas, the Karen Ora was a brother, the Karen Ora and the Mishkan Yaakov were brothers. Rav Yitzchak of Karlin and Yaakov of Karlin, they both were Tamir of Rav Chaim Vilashin. So Mishkan Yaakov develops the idea that he says, look, Dinim Daraisa are low plug. Dinim Daraisa apply even if the Tam Hadin doesn't apply. Lord Darshina and Taim Dekra, that's a Gemara on the ninth paragraph above Matiyah. So the Mishkan Yaakov suggests that when the Gemara says Chazal tried to pattern Dinim Drabanan after Dinim Daraisa, called Tikkun Rabanan, Kain Daraisa Tikkun, that includes this big picture item. That just like Dinam Daraisa, I can't say, oh, Shaul HaMelech isn't supposed to say, well, I can marry many, many wives and it won't impact me. No, there's a rule, even if you think the reason doesn't apply to you. That Dinam Drabbanan or Dinam Daraisa are absolute, so Dinam Drabbanan also are absolute. That's the Mishkan Shabbos, Gzeir Sakasim, a rule. Number two, reason number two for the principle of Loplug is active chip away. Again, I think that Gemara says, they made Takan, Gemara says in Shabbos, they made Takan Drabbanan not to read by candlelight. Why? Because eventually it starts to flicker, and if we were used to reading by candlelight, we would be primed to automatically, without even thinking, reach over and adjust the candle. We have no idea what to do with candles, but back in the day. So the Gemara says, the time of Yishmael said, Ani ekre v'lo ate. It's fine, I can learn la'ar haner, and I won't be nechshol. I will be sure not to be mate, and it did not work out so well for him. When you start saying that I'm an exception, once you start, that's active chip away. When people start saying, oh, but the reason doesn't apply, so therefore I can take liberties. And then Rashi gives the third reason. Again, looking at the board, this principle of lo plug, which solves the second kasha on Rashi. So in addition to the fact that maybe that's just like a gzeiras hakasav, like by dinam daraisa, that dinam apply even when the rules don't apply. And if you let people make exceptions whenever they think the rule doesn't apply to them, the din drabanan will quickly disintegrate. Active chip away, they'll just passive chip away, which is what Rashi seems to say. If you don't have clear guidelines and consistent enforcement, we all know that when you have rules that don't have clear definition, or you have rules that don't have consistent enforcement, human nature is such that rules are not clearly defined, sharply defined and consistently enforced, tend to wear away over time. Even if no one's actively trying to undo them, it is Matthias Advar. So if you want to, if you're making the Drabbanan for a reason, I want the Drabbanan to be in place so I'll protect the Daraisa. Well, if you want the Drabbanan to be in place, you better say lo plur. In the moment, you might think, well, but right now the Tamat Tekun doesn't apply. Trust me, in the long run, this Din Drabbanan will work better, and Dino Drabbanan as a whole will work better if they are clearly defined and consistently enforced. And that's the concept of lo plur. And that's what Rashi says. You're right in principle. You're right that the Tama Takana stops applying anytime that there's a Portuguese community in Sipori. So again, comes from Portugal. Say, look, we have Portuguese people living here. That's right. That's very hazily, fuzzily defined. Dina Drabbanan have to have sharp definition. You need sharp, clear Hagdaras. Obviously, we try to choose Hagdaras that more or less fit the Tama Takana. But it's not going to be an exact fit because you need sharp, clear definitions. So, for instance, Rashi would say, to say that Din Drabban applies only if there's one shlich, not two shluchim, shluchei halacha are well-defined, sharply defined halacha concepts. That's how they were magdir the din. Okay, so that's what Tferes Yaakov Pnei Yeshua pointed out, that Rashi himself in Tazayin seems to answer question number one. So far, so good. How about the first kasha in Tosfos? Otu b'kipa, mind what the Benny was talking about before. How do they help? It's very nice that the aid that the shluchim are here now. But how do they help? So the Tveris Yaakov first suggests that the answer to the first kasha might be based on a different principle of design of Dinam Drabbanan. He says, it's true. Tosfos is right. These Eidekim might leave. No one's forcing them to stay. They did not sign an agreement to stay. They're likely to be travelers who are moving on in a couple of days to the next stop. That's true. So then why does their temporary presence solve the problem? Says it Tveris Yaakov. He says, well, the woman will take care of herself. He tochush la'atzma. she will be choshe, she'll be concerned, and she'll make sure to get them before they leave, she'll make sure that they will be mekayim the get. In other words, it's not like the vaynach vaynacha. I mean, she'll take care of it herself. Well, why is it any better than the vaynach vaynacha? I mean, she'll take care of herself.
She'll be mekayim.
Right, okay. Well, why is that better than just having vaynach vaynacha? If we need them to mekayim, just have them say the vaynach vaynacha. So the answer is, the first principle that we spoke about in terms of Din Drabanan is that there's a barrier. Once you make a din, once the Tama Takana leads to the actual Takana itself, it no longer depends on the Tama. But at the same time, you need to get started with a Tama. Chazal only make Din Drabanan when there is sufficient Tzorach. As the Gemara says on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, the Masech is Gittin, near the top, Tosa sends us to Hei Amud Aleph, but further up top, an unlikely case, the Gemara says, near the tip, around 10 lines on top of Hei Amud Aleph, an unlikely case, Chazal won't make it in Drabanan. Why not? Why not? Either the case is unlikely, or it's unlikely that it'll lead to the problem. Why not? Why not cover all of your bases? Okay, it rarely comes up. Why not make a takana to cover every situation? So what's the answer? Why do Chazal not make takanas unless it's a common scenario, a common concern? That's the Gemara saying that for him and all. It's a rare situation, or it's rare that it will need to be, then we don't make it zero. Why? Right, because you only make a takana to solve a problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorized and obligated Chazal, or Shmarta Mishmarti, the Pasuk says, which we understand, you have to guard the mitzvahs. Asum Mishmarta Mishmarti. Chazal are supposed to make a takana if it will in a substantially protect the Dinam Daraisa, or otherwise advance the Dinam Daraisa. But there's very little Tzorech. If you don't have a big Tama Takana, then the Chazal aren't empowered to make a Gzeira. If there's a real chance that people are going to do A, and the A will lead to B, so say, then Chazal will say, don't do A, because it may likely lead to B. But if it's such a rare thing, in other words, Chazal make Takanos kefi ha-tzorech. Chazal make Takanos if it's necessary. But if the takana isn't so necessary, we don't make it. And now we return to Tzferi Yaakov's understanding, the Elter Zeda, Rabbi Yaakov Gesundheit, of Varsha. He said, you know what Rashi was saying? Of course Rashi knows as well as Tosus does that these Edim, these shluchi haget, don't have to stick around. But we don't have to make a takana. We don't have to legislate. She'll take care of it on her own. In other words, she already. If there are two shluchim who came, if one shliach comes, so then you need a special takana. Because what else is going to happen? He's just one shliach. He's not a regular. He normally kiyam hashtar needs two people. So what's this woman to do? So she's really going to be stuck. One shliach shows up. There's no way for her to mekayin the get. And then now she's just sitting and waiting for her husband to change his mind and show up and make trouble. So she's really in trouble. But if there are two shluchim, we don't need to legislate unnecessarily. She has a solution on her own. She doesn't need us. If she thinks, knowing her husband, that there's a concern, the husband may change his mind or be vindictive, as the case may be, and show up in Ma'arer, she has the tools in her own hand. The Edekim are here now. It's right they're not hanging around forever. It's Tzferes Yaakov says Rashi wasn't saying that the Edom will stick around for a year or two until the husband shows up. That Rashi was saying that two shluchim are here now. If the woman wants to, she can be mekayin the get now. And she can see to it that she takes care of business and make sure they're mekayin the get before they leave. So we don't need that, I wouldn't call this libertarianism, but we don't make takanas unnecessarily. We seek to have the minimum necessary amount of regulation. Chazal aren't seeking to make as many dinim drabanan as they can. Adraba, they only make dinim drabanan kefi hatzorach. They only make dinim drabanan kefi hatzorach. That's this the second rule, kefi hatzorach, as opposed to milsad lashicha. The Gemara in Daf Hey, milsad lashicha lagazu barabanan. Uncommon case. That's a perfect example when there isn't so much tzorach. So you say, the Tver Yaakov says, here there isn't so much tzorach because the woman can take care of it herself. Questions about this?
Why wouldn't the Rabbanan just make it to Kana where they are Mekayim the star right then and there, even if there's two shlukum, and she doesn't have to take care of it herself, she might not know. She either, like, we're assuming she can take care of it herself right now. If they leave, the Baal comes, he's Ma'arer, but they go back to Portugal, and she has to send for them, and for 2 years, everyone thinks her kids are mom's heirs.
No, correct, and that's what Tosfos was saying. It's where Zakim says, but Rashi would say that if two Edim show up, two Shluchim rather show up, says then it's a Mitzvah L'Ashchicha, that the Shtar will stay non-Mekuyim, when it needs to be. Either this woman knows her husband, and she's unconcerned. Knowing her husband, she's not too worried about the husband being ma'ar later. Or, she's not so convinced he won't be ma'ar. And then, in all likelihood, she will take care of Kiyam Ashtar. When they come with the get, she'll probably say, and how long are you here for? She'll make sure to take care of it. Is there a possibility that she'll get stuck? Yes. But turns out to be saying, Rashi, it's such a rare possibility. In all likelihood, she will be protected without our needing to make new regulation. The chance of our regulation being necessary, the chance of the husband, the type of guy who might be ma'ar, and the wife didn't chop the opportunity to mekayim the get with these two shluchim, it's rare. Possible, but rare. Muslo shicha l'gazu v'rabban. Chazal only make a takana when there's a real significant tzorach. But here, it's relatively easy to solve the problem without Chazal inserting themselves making new regulations. There are other ways. She has the tools, and then there are two Eidim, there are two Shluchim here. So that's what the Tveres Yaakov says. We'll take some more questions, and then we'll come to the Teres, to the Achronim, for the third Kasha. The Achronim say that we have to put on our deerstalker caps and pull a Sherlock Holmes. But first, more Kashas.
This answer is assuming that we think that Rove of women know Hilchos Edom and Hilchos Kiyam Ashtar to know that she has to have the Edom.
That is a good point. Right. The Tveres Yaakov is making that assumption. And maybe that's part of why, if you really want to play it out, maybe that's part of why the Rishonim were unhappy with this. Maybe. They seem to just be attacking directly. Well, I mean, they're not going to stick around. If you dig more, maybe Yechanan, right? There may be weakness in his defense of Rashi, and that may be the pain point, the pressure point, that's driving the other Rishonim who thought this was a very good kasha. Tosafot thought it's a good kasha. The Rosh thought it's a good kasha. The Rosh thought it's a good kasha. Correct. Right. That's a good point. Right. How much do the women know? Not of the intricacies of Maseches Gittin, but again, now you don't have to have learned Maseches Gittin if you live in a world which you don't yet, you. Don't yet. But if you live in a world of contracts and documents, so you've had business interactions with people in the past, so there is a certain amount of street smarts and a certain amount of practical knowledge of halacha that you pick up. Just like you already, even if you haven't learned Hilchos Shabbos Be'in, from Shomri Halacha, or 17, 18 years old, have already picked up a fair amount of Hilchos Shabbos just from practice. You picked up a certain degree of knowledge about Basar B'Chalav, even if you never opened Maseches Chulin, which you have, even if you never learned Kala Basar, there's a certain amount of practical Basar B'Chalav. You don't know all the intricacies of Naparnat and Ilagavar, but you know certain basics from just operating in the kosher kitchen. So if you're ready at the stage in your life where you're interacting with documents and contracts and negotiations with people, you have certain basics of you know, how these things flow. So maybe even without having learned Maseches Gittin, she knows that shtaros can be challenged, and the way to secure your shtar is to mekayem chazimus or not. It's a good point. Yeah, questions. Okay.
Yes, one more question.
To clarify, the right, basically the Pharisee Yaakov was just saying that it's not a common case, the question that Tosfos brought up, so it's not a...
Right, it's not a common case in the sense of, given that you have two shluchim here now, who obviously could, as Rashi kept saying, they can be Eidei Kiyum. So if they're already here and they can be Eidei Kiyum, so in all likelihood, if the husband is the sort of guy for whom there's a concern of Irur subsequently, in all likelihood, the wife will take care of Kiyum Ashtar while they're still here without our needing to... to create new dinim drabanim. So the chances of the husband's type, if the husband taka shows up in his ma'arer, and the wife had not already taken the opportunity to mekayim the shtar of the shluchim, he suggests is a relatively rare circumstance. So we have to make it a formal dinim drabanim again, and to speak to the point that that Ezra and Elisha were making. It's also worth pointing out, Beis Din, who's overseeing the Kabbalah Saget, may likely point out to her, you know, it would be a good idea to be Mekayim the Get. It's not like there's a gag or no one's allowed to say anything to her. Adrabah, we'll give her the good advice. But we don't have to make a formal takana to create a new Din Drabanan or to expand the Din Drabanan. You only have the right to do that. Let's go, right? Going back to what he spoke on Elzman. He really could have said, the default should be, it's also to make Dinim Drabanan. It's Baldosif. Elamai Chazal authorize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorizes Chazal to make Dinim Drabanan Kefi HaTzorech. Ushmartim es Meshmarti, if this is actually being Shomer, the Dinim Daraisa. But there's some other solution that doesn't involve new regulation, so then the Chazal are not authorized for new regulation. Gabriel.
It makes sense like Rashi would, but Rashi seems to imply that when in our if the Baal's Ma'ara, they will be there. So I feel like it's hard to say that they already were Mekayim the Shtar.
Since it's not, you're saying Rashi could have said it already. How you mitzvim
l'kaimo? Or so I thought. Why this guy?
Right, they were mitzvim l'kaimo. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
No, I think the point is, what we're saying is it's not shlichi, so you don't have to be l'kaimo now, and we're not concerned that the Baal is going to be ma'ar. Otherwise, we would have made it to kind of say that they have to be l'kaimo right now. But we're assuming that in the case where the Baal happens to be ma'ar, she'll be able to go get the shluchim, and Basin will tell her, oh, just know, keep their contact information or whatever. So then if the Baal is ma'ar, then they're between the kind.
Keep their contact information.
On the spot. It seems more not on the spot they'll say be mekayimit, but it's more a case where it's not shlichi. She says, my husband's not, yeah, we're indoors, but he's not going to be ma'ar and trying to mess me over. So we're going to leave it now, and then if he happens to come back 20 years later, he gets spiteful for whatever reason, then it could be,
the reverse of updating from past to present is downdating. So if you can downdate what Ezra said, instead of contact information, part of, I believe, what the Tiferes Yaakov does, the way he unpacks it, I think this speaks to your point, he says, Chazal making Din Drabanan for all cases. But this woman is looking at this particular case. So she's going to either make the assessment that Irur HaBaal is unlikely, or else she will most likely take whatever measures she needs, which means what? Which doesn't necessarily mean being Mekayim the Get. It means asking the Eidim, how long are you planning to stick around? And if they say, well, you know, we're probably here for the next week and then we're gone, so if her assessment is Kiyum is important, she'll do it now. But alternatively, here we come back to your point, she may also have asked them, how long are you staying around? They said, we live here, or we're moving here, or we're planning to be in the area. In which case, okay. So then she ascertained that they will be Mitzvim L'Kaimo. So it could be that
It doesn't have to be that she does it now. What we're assuming is either that if her assessment is that the error is a real possibility, she will do whatever she needs to do to know that she's safe, which either means be mekayim now or ascertaining that she has the shluchim in place. Yeah.
Could it maybe could Rashi possibly be rejecting also the Rivda's understanding that the Baal can't be me'arer because they're shluchim? Maybe he's saying that they can't.
Oh, that's a good point. Right, that's a good point. Rashi, then let's come back. You said that last line, Rashi, that you point out. Also, what it definitely does say, and maybe it's awkwardly phrased from the Tiferes Yaakov's perspective, maybe because Rashi wants to make the point that the Torah says, which is you will need, it's easier to say that there's more nuance in English. You will or you would need Kiyum if the Baal were to show up. Either the Kiyum will need to happen then, or else it has already happened, she took care of it earlier. But if the Baal were to show up, there will be a need for Kiyum, which either was taken care of or is being taken care of. And Baruch Hashem, we have a chance to take a break from this hot room. Perfect. We'll go down. We'll take a breather. Then we'll come back right after the second.
Right.
Peter's far in here.